So this morning I'm going to share from the passage that Charlie read from. And you're welcome to do that again, Charlie. So Lord, we just thank you for your word and pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll help us to hear. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So this passage contains two miracles of Jesus. The first one is the raising of Jairus' daughter, and the second one is the healing of the woman who had the non-stop flow of blood. This second miracle happens between Jesus meeting Jairus and the actual miracle, and really the two are woven together. They both speak of humility and faith. And they both speak of God's power to heal and to raise the dead. Amen. Now, when we're thinking about raising the dead, we all know very well that it's not an everyday experience, even though we might every now and again hear of a story of someone who's died and they were revived or had a near-death experience, that sort of thing. So it's not totally outside of our experience, but obviously it's not the expectation. And the interesting thing is that actually, even in the Bible, it's not that a common event. Even though the very center of our faith is based upon the greatest resurrection that ever took place. What is common in the Bible, and this is both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, are people who have faith in a God who's real, faith in a God who is powerful enough to raise the dead. And frequently in the Bible, as we will see later on, that dead is used figuratively as well. That God can raise us from situations that seem to be seemingly hopeless. Like, for example, the woman with the flow of blood. The Apostle Paul said that he is the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that are not. And this is the kind of faith that lies at the heart of our Christian faith, which was demonstrated most powerfully in the resurrection of Jesus. So this morning I have 3 points as we look at this passage, and they're quite sort of straightforward. First of all, Jesus goes to heal Jairus' daughter, but secondly, Jesus is delayed, and then we'll look at the healing of the woman with the flow of blood. And then thirdly, Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. So, first of all, Jesus goes to heal Jairus' daughter. Remember that Jesus with his disciples had gone across to the other side of the lake, and we looked at the storm that they encountered. But now he's on his way back from this region of the Gerasenes, and he arrives back home with his disciples. And literally for Jesus, it's non-stop, no time for a tea break, not that they had tea in those days, I'm sure. But immediately it says in verse 41, then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house. So Jairus was most likely the leader of the synagogue at Capernaum. And therefore, he would have known all about what Jesus had been doing there. And we looked in some detail at the healing of the centurion's servant, for example, and other things that Jesus had been doing in Capernaum. And here we see that Jairus comes and falls at Jesus' feet, pleading for his help. And I think we can immediately feel the anguish of a father for his daughter who is dying. And yet at the same time, we see a man with humility as he throws himself down at Jesus' feet. And we see a man who has faith in Christ. And I think it's interesting just again to point out, though, I've certainly said it before, that not all the religious leaders in Jesus' day were proud and Pharisaic. Jairus had a different spirit. And we see in Jairus someone who is humble. And it reminds us of the verse in the Bible that says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And what we see in this story is a man who receives the grace of God in a remarkable way. And we also see that Jesus and, by extension, God, and we see this throughout the Gospels, we see it in the whole of the New Testament, we see it in the whole of the Bible, in fact, that God responds to those who have faith. Remember Hebrews chapter 11, which is all about the great heroes of faith. And it says in verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Which is quite a verse. Without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The problem is that we often doubt, and doubts are thrown at us from all directions all the time. We have conflicting emotions and conflicting thoughts, but the call of Jesus is to believe and to trust like little children. Secondly, Jesus is delayed. He sets out towards Jairus' house. There was a large crowd following him, pushing, shoving, close around him. That certainly didn't make progress easy. But then we read, a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. No one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, who was in, I think the King James says, the hem of his garment. And immediately her bleeding was stopped. And Jesus knew immediately that someone had touched him. And he says, I know because power has gone out from me. But no one knew who had touched him. And then Peter tried to be helpful. He said, well, someone's bound to have touched you because of all these people shoving and pushing around you. But the woman herself became increasingly aware that she was going to be discovered. And so she came clean. It says that she came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And so we see here, the woman also fell at the feet of Jesus. An act of humility, an act of trust. She wasn't running away. And we see that Jesus responded with amazing grace. And of course, we know that Jesus is the Son of God incarnate. So the way Jesus responds is the way God responds, with amazing grace. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Which is just about exactly the same words as Jesus spoke to the sinful woman back in chapter 7. I can imagine that in the meantime, Jairus was getting a bit agitated. He was deeply concerned for his daughter. And it was just at that point that he received the worst possible news. It says, while Jesus was speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, he said. Don't bother the teacher anymore. See, Jesus had been ministering to the woman. He'd been taking his time. It actually reminds us of a similar miracle, almost a greater miracle. Lazarus, who was sick, and his sisters called for him. But he put off visiting Lazarus for 2 days, and in the meantime, Lazarus died. And I think this teaches us that God's delays, at least as they seem to us, are not easy. I think perhaps Isaiah put it very, very well. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. God's delays, those unanswered prayers, things that we really want to happen quickly or now, and it just doesn't. But actually, they can be part of God's purpose. He wants us to trust. He's teaching us. He's all the time teaching us patience, even though we pray, Lord, teach me patience, give it to me now. But it doesn't really work like that. See, Jesus had spent some time, not like in the Lazarus case, but he had spent some time reaching out to this woman, conversing with her. This is a beautiful story. It's a beautiful act of mercy. It's the sort of things Jesus did and Jesus does, because that's what he's like. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. He gives new life figuratively to the dead. He gives us eternal life. And in the meantime, he hadn't forgotten Jairus. And sometimes God's delays can result in an even greater blessing. And I find it interesting and informative how these two miracle stories are connected. In the Levitical law, a flow of blood made a woman unclean. So this constant bleeding would have made her, in effect, an outcast from her community. In particular, unable to attend the synagogue of which Jairus was ruler. In a sense, the woman was dead. Dead to her community in the sense of being separated from her community. No life as normal. And it was into this situation that, although in this case she took the initiative, Jesus healed her. And this healing for her was like life from the dead. And there's something else interesting as well. Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." We have a ritually unclean woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. We have a synagogue ruler whose daughter had died aged 12 years. Personally, I don't think, at least in the mind of Luke, in God's mind, that that's a coincidence. It sort of links the story together. And significantly, Jesus calls the woman daughter. This is the only time in the Gospels that Jesus addresses a woman individually as daughter. It's as if he's saying, she's just as important as the daughter of the synagogue ruler. Yeah. And we need to remind ourselves again and again that God loves those outside the church just as much as he loves us. Yeah. He died for them. And Paul said in Timothy that God does not desire that any should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of the truth. But thirdly, Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. See, I think observing all this, that Jairus may well have appreciated and understood the reason for the delay. Nevertheless, when he heard the news that his daughter had died, it must have been devastating for him. If only Jesus had just got here a little bit sooner. And what we find here is that Jesus picks up on this immediately. Jesus understands. He understands you. Probably understands us better than we understand ourselves. It says, hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." Someone said, "God may delay, but he doesn't forget." I think it's as if Jesus was saying, "I've just healed this woman from the flow of blood, this daughter. I'm going to come now and heal your daughter. Just believe. Just keep believing." We need to keep believing. We need to keep believing in this church. Otherwise, we really will have failed. That's the biggest fail. To stop believing, to stop trusting Jesus. And then Jesus says the girl is asleep. Well, there were mourners, those wailing, and maybe they were professional mourners, all of them or some of them. They didn't understand what he was saying. They actually just laughed at him. But Jesus was using this word sleep as a euphemism for being dead. He knew the girl was dead. We're told the girl was dead. But very often we find in the Bible, and still can be used today, that sleep is used as an expression for being dead. And actually that has within it, doesn't it, an expectation. An expectation that death is not the end. An expectation that if someone goes to sleep, they will wake up again on the final resurrection. But Jesus wasn't going to wait that long in this case with the little girl. He took Peter, James, and John, and he took the parents into the girl's bedroom, and he left the unbelieving crowd outside. And it simply says, in a sublime way, Jesus took her by the hand and said, "My child, arise." NIV is sort of get up. It's the same word as used for the resurrection of Christ. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. And then Jesus told them to give her something to eat, and her parents were amazed. This was a demonstration of the power of God. It was a sign, and it remains a sign for us today. It's a sign that God is the God who gives life to the dead. That's the kind of God he is. God can raise us from, first of all, situations which are figuratively dead, impossible situations, hopeless situations, situations where there seems to be no hope. That was something that Abraham, the father of our faith, experienced. This is what God commended him for. God had promised Abraham a son, but Abraham had to face the fact that his body was as good as dead because he was so old. We're told 100 years old. And also that Sarah's womb was also dead. There was absolutely zero hope. But against hope, Abraham believed, and God did the impossible, and Isaac was born, and he was called the child of promise. And he was the one who was in the messianic line from whom eventually the Messiah would come, who was Jesus. The woman of the flow of blood, we've already mentioned, healed and raised, if you like, from an impossible situation. Paul in the New Testament on one occasion, describing a situation which he described as being far beyond our ability to endure. And then he said, indeed, we don't know exactly what it was, but he said this, we felt we had received the sentence of death. He goes on to say, but this happened that we might not rely upon ourselves, but upon God who raises the dead. That's just three examples of many, many, many in the scriptures, many testimonies people have of God working in their lives, the God who raises the dead. But secondly, and crucially, God raises us from being dead in trespasses and sins. This is our human problem, as we know here all too well. That it's being in our sins is like being dead in a hopeless situation because we can't forgive ourselves and our sinful nature has a grip on us. And this is why Jesus came to die for our sins and to raise us to new life, to deal with that thing that we can't deal with ourselves. In Ephesians, it says that God, who's rich in mercy, we see that rich mercy in these two stories, don't we, in the gospel, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in transgressions. And it is by grace you have been saved. Incidentally, that word for saved there is the same word for healed in these two stories. God raised us up. He raised us up spiritually and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And thirdly, the third application, and just very briefly, God will raise all believers at the final resurrection at the end of the age. The Bible has a huge amount to say this, and as we might expect, a huge amount in the New Testament, though not alone in the New Testament. But just to pick up on one verse in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15 really being the big chapter about resurrection in the New Testament, although it's in plenty of other places as well. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, Paul is saying. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So he's using again sleep as a euphemism for those who have died, saying the first fruits early in the season where we pick the first fruits of the tree, well, that's Christ. And when we have the first fruits, the rest will follow. One day there will be a resurrection, all those who believe to eternal life. Amen. So, Lord, we realize that the Bible has so much application. Help us, Lord, we pray today, to take hold of those things that are spoken to us, O Lord. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that these things will become real for each one of us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.